Amen, man. Give God some praise this morning, as He is a good God. And hit the light there. There we go. And man, I'll tell you, 4 years of being in the wilderness, unloading and reloading and unloading and reloading. And did I say we unloaded some? And we packed and we did all that. But at the same time, and I told a group that came to pray this morning, for 4 years of serving like that as a church, not one time did I ever hear anybody complain about setup. Not one time, as people faithfully served God. And now I don't know what else to do today but just praise God for His faithfulness today and how amazing and awesome and great our God is. Oh man, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Repeat after me. Are you pumped? If not, you need Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is life, and He helps us to know Him and to experience life to the fullest. You see, I have up here our little logo today. That's not because we're prideful or arrogant or anything like that, but we at this church, we have a system, kind of, if that's what you want to call it. It's our class system, and it's all about making spiritual commitments. We have a class, help me here, Life Community, a class 101, 201, 301, and 4. Y'all are so smart this morning. Y'all can count. That's good. I'm proud of you. And with that, we encourage all of our members to begin to grow and to begin to make faith commitments for the Lord at each step of their journey. 101, we learn about being committed to Jesus Christ, the church. And 201, we learn about being committed to spiritual maturity. 301 is about being committed to ministry and helping people discover their gifts for service. And 401 is about being committed to missions and being supportive of missions and doing missions. Well, some time ago, as I was praying about how God would lead our church, I began thinking about our logo and how it's a plant that's growing. And I thought to myself, you know, as our logo is a growing plant, let's see here, let's turn it like this. There we go. As our plant is growing, I thought, you know, what if each of our leaves represented one of our classes that we did? And as we make commitments and as we make spiritual commitments to the Lord, we begin to grow. Class 101 to Jesus and the church, 201 to maturity, 301 to ministry, and 401 to missions. And I'm excited to think about that. But when I start talking about making commitments, it freaks a lot of people out. When I talk about that we need to be people that are committed, it really makes people nervous because we don't really do well with commitment. We really don't. I mean, we've got a whole generation that has experience broken commitments for the most part. But I remember, I got to confess today, I have played my role in being noncommittal. I hate to share this horrible story to you, but I was destined to be a Major League Baseball player. See, it all began when I was about 6 years old, 7 years old maybe. And I signed up to play T-ball. And I had my cleats on. I had my jersey on. And I went to my first practice of T-ball. And I remember that when I went to T-ball, I thought, dude, everybody's kind of bigger than me. And some of these boys, they get up to hit that bat, I hit that ball off that stick. And when I get up, I miss the ball. I can't do it. So I remember when our first game rolled up for my T-ball destiny, I was sitting in the car, and I was scared to death. And I started to cry. And I said, I don't want to go play T-ball. They're all bigger than me. And my family said, well, you need to go. You've committed. And I said, I'm not going. They said, but you've committed. And I said, I'm not going. They said, we'll buy you a Ninja Turtle. And I said, I don't care. I'm not going. And that day, I non-committed to baseball. So when you look at me today, the reason I'm not in the Hall of Fame goes back to that fateful day of non-committal to T-ball. But as we think about commitments, I mean, really everybody wants a commitment from you. I mean, you've got to commit, you know, your firstborn to get a cell phone plan. You've got to commit to the PTO for this and that. You've got to commit to being involved in the YMCA for this amount of time or that or that. Everybody wants a commitment from you. Everybody is wanting some sort of commitment. And when you start hearing Life Community wants commitment, and Life Community wants to make not just one commitment, but four commitments to membership and to maturity and to ministry and to missions, man, that freaks some of us out. It just absolutely scares us because really the day and age that we live in is an age of non-commitment. It's an age where let's not commit to anything. Let's just kind of come and show up and do our thing, but if we start getting commitment, if we get close to commitment, we're going to back out. But really, non-committal living is not the way to live, because when you don't commit to anything, you don't stand for anything. You don't make a difference if you don't commit. You can't be relied on. You can't be part of something bigger than yourself. And non-committal leads to hurting people. Many people have strung along a fiance, well, we're going to get married one day. We'll get married one day. Or a girlfriend, we'll get married one day. And she's begging and pleading, please make the commitment. Please. Well, I'm just scared of commitment. To which, when I counsel those type of situations, I look at the man and I say these simple, caring, thoughtful words, grow up. Grow up. Because the non-committal stuff is a little old, of just playing in the middle. I'm not here or there. I'm just kind of my own little thing. I'm just not going to commit. And what's happening is you are missing out on something great when you don't commit. You're missing out on something great. Now, for me, I've kind of outlined in my own personal life things that are really, really important for me to commit to. Well, obviously, my faith in Jesus Christ is so important because I believe in God. I believe in the Word of God. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus is God, that He died on the cross for me, rose again, and I've committed my life to Him. My family is important to me. I think of my wife, my three little girls. I love them. I would do anything for them. I'm committed to them. I love them so much. I'm committed. But I think about my church. I'm also committed to my church. You know, when all this was going down and we were figuring out what God had for us, I knew several years ago God had called me to plant a church. And I knew that it was probably where the majority of my life work would be at. I knew that getting into it, that the majority of my life would probably be in the church that God would lead us to plant. And we were committed to that. And we wanted to stay somewhere where we could make a difference and where we could help plant other churches and help send other missionaries out and to do things. That was what God had called me to do. And when I start talking about church commitment, man, that really disengages half of you. Because when we start talking about church commitment, man, you can't even commit to what movie you're going to watch on Friday night. I mean, you stand there in front of the red box and you just say, I'm just not committed to this tonight. So when we talk about being committed to a church, oh my goodness, that freaks everybody out. Committed to a church. Kenny, how can I be committed? There's just so many. I've got to shop around. I've got to look. And if I commit, I know what you're going to do. You're going to make me say hi to people at the front door. And if I commit, you're going to make me show up to some sort of meeting. And if I commit, you're going to make me take out the trash, aren't you? Yeah. But besides the fact, what we see is that people are scared to death of committing to church. And I get it, because so many churches have let us down. Amen to that one. They've not taught the gospel. They've not believed the word. They've not given support. They've not given care. They've not ministered. They did bicker, fight, and fuss, and cuss a whole lot. But sharing the good news of Jesus and being the church that God called them to be, not so much. And when we got involved in that and we saw a brand of Christianity instead of Christianity instead of Jesus, we saw religion instead of relationship, it just made some of us sick. And we'd say, man, I'm just done with church. I'm tired of that mess because I've seen what church does to people. I've seen how it hurts people. And when we started Life Community, We didn't want that kind of church. We didn't want this club or this place where people could come and get their way and just like a membership club type thing. We wanted a true, genuine, biblical New Testament church. That's what we desired. We desired for a church that was really reaching people to Jesus and really making a difference, a church that you would want to commit to. Because when you were part of it, you made a difference. And you made a difference in our city and in our community and in our neighborhood, because a church that God had his hand on, that believed the word of God and that did great things for Jesus. Today, I'm calling us to commit to that kind of church. To commit to being that kind of biblical New Testament church where we will stand up for Jesus, stand up for the Word of God, but also go out to a hurting, bleeding community and give them Jesus and give them love. That we will connect them to Jesus, that we will care for them, and in the process we will change the world through that. We will be that kind of church. Some of you all will say, well, Kenny, I'm committed, kinda. I mean, I come. You look at me and I'm there. I'm warming a seat, and they're nice seats, aren't they? Some of y'all are missing the armrest, aren't you? And some of y'all done sprawled out, you know? I see you. But I'm here, man. I'm here. Why do I need to be committed? Why do I need to be a member of a church? Well, I want to talk about today, as we talk about over the next 4 weeks, a commitment to church membership, or commitment to Christ and the church, a commitment to maturity, ministry, and a commitment to missions over the next 4 weeks. I want us today to really think about what it means to be committed to the church. Look at this. The difference between an attender and a member is summed up in one word. You ready? You know what that word is? Commitment. The difference between an attender and a member is commitment. Commitment. So today, if we want to look at what it means to be a church member, we need to say, what are we committed to? Jason read our scripture today. It's from Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, Paul says, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If teaching and teaching, and exhorting and exhortation, giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Paul would teach us this. The difference between a tender and a member is summed up in the word commitment. Let's look at three things really quick about being committed to a church family. Number one, I'm committed to my church when I remember the church is not about me. I'm committed to the church when I remember it's not about me. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you. Stop right there. Who is Paul? Where does he get off telling us what to do? Well, Paul was kind of a big dude in the faith. Amen to that one? This was a guy that was a Pharisee, a religious teacher. And he was so sharp, so skilled, and his job was to hunt Christians down. And to find them and to hand them over and to put them into jail. That was Paul's job. But Paul had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And Paul saw Jesus and met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul was recognized as an apostle or a leader of the church. So where does he get off telling us what to do? You ready? The old boy met Jesus. You with me on that? And he was recognized by the New Testament church as a leader and a pillar in the church. So Paul, he says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. He says, don't get prideful, don't get cocky, don't get arrogant. Instead, think sensibly, Paul says. Think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. But notice what he says, by the grace given to me. Paul knew that all he had experienced in the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, to meeting Jesus, that was all grace. Is anybody thankful today for the grace that God's given them? forgiveness and goodness. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Praise God for the grace of Jesus. And here Paul tells us, he says, guys, as a church, you're going to be part of a church family? Don't think more highly than you ought. How many churches all across America think more of themselves than what they should? They get so cocky, so arrogant, and their view of church is more like a country club than a community of faith. By the way, it was Jesus who created the church. It was Jesus who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It was Jesus who died for the church. So why do I commit to the church? Because, man, it's Jesus' idea. It's his idea. And it's this community of faith that comes together. But yet we've turned that into this beautiful thing that Jesus created and died into a country club. And now we think of church like this. Well, I'm a member. I've got my card. And if I'm a member of the YMCA, I expect clean towels in the locker room. And some of you may think, well, I'm a member of Life Community Church, therefore you serve me. I'm a member, therefore I get my way. I'm a member, and if I don't like it, I'll leave. By the way, someone leaving a church never shut down the church. It's been here before you were born, and it's going to be here after you check out and go to heaven. Did you know that? Ain't no gate of hell stopping the church. It ain't going to happen. Well, I'll take my tithe and leave. Well, God bless you on your way out. Because the good Lord owns a whole lot more real estate and stock and goods than you ever will have in your little tithe. Our God provides. So when we start getting cocky and we start saying, well, it's my way or the highway, that's not what Jesus called us to do. The church is not a club. The church is a community of believers that have discovered Christ and know Christ and are now are with each other. We're committed to Jesus and we're committed to each other. And we know that everybody in this church is just a product of God's love and grace. That he had to save us by his blood. He had to do that. And you know what? He had to save me by his blood. So when I look at all y'all, you know what I see? I see a bunch of sinners. But praise God, a bunch of sinners that trusted in Jesus and was forgiven. So when I think about the church, I think that we're all messed up. We're all a bunch of weirdos. But we're weirdos that are together, that have the grace of God, and that understand that Jesus loves us and died for us. We get that. So church commitment is not walking in saying it's all about me. Church commitment is walking in and saying, man, it's about my brothers and sisters. It's about how I can serve them. Country clubs, you serve me. The church, I serve you. I serve you. And I'll do what I can to serve and to help and to sacrifice because we look more like Jesus when we are bleeding and hurting for other people than anything else. We look more like Jesus like that. I ask you this question. Have you falsely believed the church is about you? If you have, it's time to repent and understand that the church of Jesus is a movement of God where we are together as a church family and we move forward as a church family. Number two, I'm committed to my church. I'm committed to my church when I'm committed to other members. When I'm committed to other members. Now, some of you all would say, well, Kenny, membership is not a biblical word. Membership is a secular word. It's something that we rob from different organizations and clubs. Actually, you're wrong. We did not rob them from secular organizations. Are you ready for this? Secular organizations robbed it from the church. How do you know that, Kenny? Well, just read the Bible. That's a good indicator. Look what it says. Paul says in verse 4, now as we have many parts in one body,
And all the parts do not have the same function in the same way. We who are many are one body in Christ, individually. You ready for this? What? Say it with me. Members of one another. See, Paul, one of his favorite illustrations that he used to talk about the church was the human body. He used it all the time. He described Christians as being interconnected to each other, like we were fingers and toes and eyes and ears, all working together with Jesus Christ as the head of us and leading us. That's what his major illustration that he used for us. He used it all the time, that we are a body. And a member, a church member, you ready for this, is not a card-carrying person. A church member is like a hand. Like your hand is a member of your body. Or your foot is a member of your body. Are y'all with me on this today? Your ears are a member. So biblical membership is not some club that you're part of. Biblical membership means that you are connected, you ready for this, to other people. That's what that means. You are interconnected to other people. You are therefore a member of one another, which makes the church. The church is not a building. The church is us together. We may meet in a building, but it's not the building. We are the church, and if we believe in Jesus Christ and that he died for us and he rose again, he inhabits us with his Holy Spirit, and we are members of the body. And likewise, we as church members are highly committed to each other, highly committed to each other. Because if one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Now, some of you all may think, you may look down at your little toe, I mean your little toe, like the little one, and you may say, man, that is the most useless part of my body. But you know what? If you're walking through the house late at night and you stump that little toe that does nothing, you feel it, don't you? You feel it good, don't you? And it runs all through your body. You know, when I was in college, we went to the lake one year and one night, and we were out tubing and that sort of thing. And I hit this big wave, and I flew off the tube, and I rolled. And, man, there was water that went right into my ear. And, man, all night it was not coming out. I tried everything, and it was hurting. It got infected. And I was in college, and that next morning it was throbbing. Like, the whole side of my face was swollen. It was just bad. Something weird happened. And it was crazy. That one little ear on the side of my head made something happen. Somehow, my eyes came open to alert me that I needed to get out of the bed. And somehow, my legs flung around the side of the bed. And somehow, I stood up, and my brain went into motion. And I got dressed, and I began to grab my keys. And somehow, I got into the car, and my fingers took the key, put it in the ignition, and my hands went on the wheel, my feet went on the pedal, and got me to the doctor, all because of my ear. No other reason to go except for my ear. When we're committed to each other, you ready for this? If just one of us is hurting, just one, the arms, the legs, the ears, the noses, the mouths, every one of us spring into action to give them biblical Christian care. Because that's what church is about. And I've seen this with this community where we have gave meals to people. We've received them. We've seen you all sacrifice and serve. And that's what church membership is about. It's about committing to each other. Look around this room today. Look. That's the church. These are people that you are to be committed to. And you know what? Sometimes they're going to do stuff you don't like. My ear did something that I didn't like. Allergy season. My nose does stuff I don't like. But here's what I know. I'm not going to cut my nose off because it's running. I'm not going to rip my ear off because it's hurting. I'm going to do what I can to make sure it's healthy. When you look around and you see other members in this church, you're committed to them. If you have a problem with somebody, listen to me. Don't gossip behind their back. Don't be negative. Don't talk negatively. Don't harbor grudges. That's toxic. Why would you ever cut your nose off? Why would you ever do that? Instead, you go to them, and in Christian spirit, in Christian grace, in Christian love, you say, brother, can I get a cup of coffee with you? And you sit down with them, and you say, you know what, listen, I'm here to mend and to reconcile, not to fuss, not to put blame, but to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you something. If you start that spirit and you start doing that, this church is going to be okay. If you start, but Kenny, it's a lot easier to come to you and complain. Yeah, I know. I'm so glad Jesus told you not to do that. I'm so glad you're disobedient and in sin if you do that. Really? Absolutely. Jesus told us in Matthew 18, if you've got a problem with your brother, you go to him. Y'all didn't even want to say it, did you? Him first. And if they won't listen, then you bring somebody with you. And if they won't listen then you bring it to the church. Well, Kenny, it's easier to complain to you instead of talk to them. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. You're in sin. And all I'm going to do is tell you what, go talk to them. And you're going to get mad, then we're going to have to reconcile. You know? That's the way it works. Number three, we see this. I'm committed to my church when I use my gifts. I'm committed to my church when I use my gifts. Paul, you can read it for the sake of time, but he talks about all these gifts. We're members of the body, and the body has gifts. This is not the only gift list in the New Testament. There's several gift lists, but he talks about some of them. He talks about prophecy, intercessory, and teaching, and exhortation, leading, and mercy. But notice something. All of these spiritual gifts, okay, every one of them, are in context of what? The church. That these gifts are to be used within the what? The body. That's why ministries need to flow through the church. They need to go through the church and be anchored to the church because the church is where spiritual gifting flows out of according to the Bible. The church, we produce ministries, we do ministries through us being in connection to each other, being accountable to each other, and under leadership and doing that and going forward as a church. But we know that every believer has a gift, everyone. In a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about your spiritual gifts, and we're going to challenge you to go to 301 that afternoon to discover your spiritual gift. But let me say this, you have a spiritual gift, and they all work in context of helping the church to grow and helping to reach people. Spiritual gifts help to reach people. What I love about the church is this. When the church does what the church is supposed to do, and we're committed to it, and we're using our gifts, it has a tremendous impact on everything. And you may not have thought about this, but listen really quick. The church affects three areas. There is a social effect, there is a physical effect, and a spiritual effect that the church does. For example, socially, when a church is doing what they're supposed to be doing, relationships are developed, people will come to know Jesus, crime is reduced, poverty is reduced, positive change happens. You know what? It's great. What if we could see Christian men and women become people that produce art and music and culture in our city that is positive for Jesus Christ? What if, instead of trying to find a politician that represents us, we create a social culture where we love Jesus and people know Jesus and Christian politicians just emerge out of it? Instead of trying to find somebody that's going to lie to you anyway and say they know Jesus. Why not have a social impact of changing the whole city? What about a physical impact? The hungry are fed. The naked are clothed. Education and healthcare is improved. There is physical changes that happen because a church is in the city. Orphans are adopted. Homeless are housed through the church being the church. As important as the social and the physical implications are of what the church can do, especially when you have Christian businessmen that are acting like Jesus in the factory, acting like Jesus at the shop, acting like Jesus in the factory, wherever, okay? Wherever, in the office, wherever. Outside of all the positive things that come out of Christian business people and Christian workers, for the community, the greatest impact is that when the church is the church, there is a spiritual impact where those that are on their way to a sinner's hell are saved by the grace of God and forgiven and given a new home in heaven. The greatest change ever, where people come to know Christ in a saving way. That's what the church does. It creates a social, physical, and spiritual impact. Can you imagine if all of our churches across Davis County began to get serious about social, physical, and spiritual renewal in our city? What would happen? What would happen if we all began to feed the hungry, clothe the naked? What if we all began to go out and start programs and to raise and disciple young business people, to raise up in our city and to be Christian business people, Christian factory workers, Christian painters, showing the love of Jesus? What would happen to our city? Are you ready? It would be a better place to live when the church acts like the church. And outside of that, praise God, the kingdom is going to grow. Now, with all that said and done, that means I got to get involved and plugged. I've got to get committed to use my gifts and that sort of passion. And by the way, God loves creativity. I mean, my goodness, very first chapter in the Bible is creative. Was there a place for creativity in the church? Absolutely, there is. Man, look at all this stuff. Man, I can't do any of this. I can't paint. I can't. Rick Phelps cutting junk out of styrofoam, making it look all pretty, and Ben up there making sets, and Jeff, and these musicians making music, and all these people painting and vacuuming and cleaning. All I do is read my Bible and make a message, man. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. Somebody said, well, Kenny, how do we get water in there? I said, I guess a hose. I promise, ain't that right, Daniel? And it's just, I said, I don't know. Go find something. Where's it at? I don't know. Go ask somebody. Here's what I do know. When we're all serving the Lord and we're plugged in and we're all doing what the Holy Spirit has gifted us to do, there will be positive change across the city. Everywhere. That's why we commit. If you're not committed and you're at this church and then that church and then this church and then that church, where are you ever going to use your spiritual gifts? Where are you ever going to get plugged in and do something positive and do something great for the kingdom of God? You won't be able to. First off, when you jump and jump and jump and jump, nobody knows you. And they can't trust you. And you can't serve. That's a serious issue. Well, that old brother over there made me mad. Man, don't let the devil mess with you with that garbage. He's trying to rob you of your joy. Don't let Satan do that. We make commitments at this church because we become what we're committed to. When we make those kind of commitments, making commitments is biblical. There are covenants all through the Bible. And we do something really crazy at our church. We do. We have a church covenant that we make people sign at our church. An agreement, a document that they agree to. Now, we don't ask people to do more than what the Bible says. We can never do that. But we do ask them to live the way Jesus tells them to live. Our church covenant, many of you all signed it 4 years ago, and you done forgot what it said, didn't you? I'll remind you. Does that sound good? Those that are members of this church promised four things when you united with Life Community. You promised that you would protect the unity of the church, that you would work in harmony with each other and build relationships and fellowship. You promised God that you'd create unity, protect the unity. You promised God that. You promised to share the responsibilities of the church. You don't just let one person do it. You jump in, you serve. You're involved. If you see a piece of trash, you pick it up. But yet, at the same time, you share in the financial side of it. You share in the serving side of it, in the visitation side of it. You do your part. You promise to serve in the ministries of the church. You promise to get involved, to help with the kids over there, and to help. How many kids we got in there tonight? Today? Do y'all know? Y'all got a number? How many? 40 children back there today. 40 children. 40 children. You made the promise to help our kids. And you know what? This place is big enough. We got room for 40 more kids. We're going to serve them. And then you promised to support the testimony of the church by living a godly life, attending regularly, giving regularly. You made that promise. Kenny, I'm down here. I mean, I'm coming. I'm a regular attender. But I just don't know if I can get to there. Man, you're missing out. You'll never experience fruit if you don't begin to grow. Well, Kenny, how can I become a committed church member? Well, let me just, not to defeat my entire message that I just preached for way too long for the last 40 minutes, okay? But let me say this. You will never, ever be able to commit to a church, ever, unless you're first committed to Jesus Christ. That's one of our blanks. When we commit to Jesus, then we'll be able to commit. Because, by the way, church roles do not get you to heaven. Christy, I'm so proud of Christy's faith and her testimony to that she needed Jesus as her Savior. Even though she was on a roll, she wanted to make sure that she knew Christ. And she prayed to receive Jesus for the first time. That was awesome. Roles don't get us to heaven. Knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and that we're sinners and we must turn to Christ in a saving relationship is what saves us. Today we must raise our commitment. God has given us a great gift, Life Community, a great gift. And we must raise our commitments. For some of you all today, this is the end, okay? For some of you all today, that means if you've been an attender, but you've not made that commitment, it's time for you to go to class one-on-one this afternoon. Amen? It's time for you to be part of the team, to be part of the team. It means that if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to give your heart to the Savior to be saved. You need Christ. Today, as we are here, it is my prayer that all of us will answer the call to commitment. Are you committed? Would you pray with me today? Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you do. And God, for this great gift, Father, that you have given us, Lord, in this facility. But God, more than that, we thank you for the great gift of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins. And Father, today, if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus, I pray that they would open their hearts up to receive Christ for the very first time. Father, you are so committed to us. So committed to us. And we pray, Jesus, that you, Lord, would rescue somebody today that needs Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. With head still bowed and eyes still closed today, how could we ever be committed to a church if we're not committed to Christ? Maybe today you don't know Jesus. Christ is not in your life. But it's time for you to receive Jesus. I want to invite you to pray a prayer right where you are of asking Jesus into your heart, admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus died and rose again, and choosing to follow Christ. Maybe you're ready to make that commitment to Jesus. Would you pray this prayer with me to yourself from the heart? Dear God, I am a sinner. I've made many mistakes. But I believe in Jesus. I believe he died in my place. I choose to follow Christ. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that today for the very first time, no one will embarrass you, call you out, or point you out, but I would just like to see if you prayed that today for the very first time, would you just slip your hand up and say, Kenny, I accepted Jesus today for the very first time. Here in a moment, we're going to begin to sing. Our deacons are on the side to pray with you if you need prayer. But I'm asking all Life Community members today to raise their commitment. To raise their commitment to their church. Because God is going to do big stuff. So Father, move. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? You know what? Mark, help me. Let's pull the cross out here. We don't have an altar up here. But if you need to pray, we can gather at the cross this morning. As we sing, let's raise our commitments to Jesus.